Is good. His mercy endures forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We would love to see you tonight. One of my favorite nights is when we come and pray together and just worship God together. Not really an agenda, not really any set plan, but just getting God's presence. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Tell your neighbor, say, I will come tonight at 6:30. So the Saints play, what, at 3:30, something like that? They should be wrapping up. You shouldn't know whether they're going to win or lose by that point. And so, anyway, make your way here to the house of the Lord, because the saints of the living God always win. Amen? Because we're on the winning side. We serve a mighty, mighty God. And so far, as Miss Tina said, we talked about in this series, we introduced it with this statement and where it came from in the book of Joshua, when he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? And hopefully that has been your anthem of your life and of your family, that you decided, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you're living in my house, we're going to church on Sunday morning. If you're living in my house, we're going to be a people who pray, right? And so we're going to, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve him continually, not just today, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. And then my wife spoke a message about cleaning your house and keeping it clean, right? Keep on cleaning, clean and keep on cleaning. And she used the illustration with the sofa. And that was stressing me out, by the way. Whenever she like threw all the trash like on that sofa, I'm like, man, this is really stressing me out. And so perhaps you're like that too, and you just need a clean house. But clean, yes, in the physical, but clean in the spiritual as well is more important. And then last week, the week before that, we talked about filling the house. And not only are you to clean it, but you are to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So when the enemy does come back, he finds the Holy Spirit to be on guard, and he is no match for the Holy Spirit. The enemy is no match for the Holy Spirit. And then last week, we talked about defending our house. And she wanted to use this illustration from Home Alone. This is my house, and I have to defend it, right? And hopefully you've taken on that attitude as well. Today, we will replicate our house. And so now that it's clean, and now that it's filled, and now that it's guarded, we want to teach others how to do the same thing. And so we want to instill into others what God has instilled into us. We want to replicate it. Amen? We want to replicate our house. How many guys are familiar with DSLD and what that stands for, all right? Whenever my wife and I moved into our subdivision, there was like maybe a couple of houses, you know, to the left, and there's like two different sides. And so the subdivision kind of forks off. You had the left side and you had the right side. Well, we knew that the right side was pretty much DSLD homes, and we didn't want any part of that. And so we went to the left side of the neighborhood, right, thinking that surely all of these are going to be custom-built homes, and you know, they're going to, you know, use good quality products and all these different things. And so we're there a couple of years, and then all of a sudden, the people who designed the subdivision, they had a change of heart. They said, no longer is the left, well, the back part is going to be just custom-built houses. It's going to be DSLD homes as well. And we were like, no, you know, and so basically, if you're not familiar with DSLD, and I love these guys, right, they have a system, they know what they're doing, but basically what they do is they come in, and they have their own carpentry crew. They have their own electrician crew, their plumbing crew, everybody. And so everybody knows what it is that they are to be doing. And so they come in, they lay a foundation, they start framing, and then those guys move on to the next house, move on to the next house, move on to the next house. And they have mastered the art of replicating houses, because what happens is you have probably about 5 to 6, maybe 10 house plans that you can pick from, right? Maybe at the most. And so what they do is they're like, hey, we know what this house will cost. We know the exact numbers and what that looks like. So we're going to take that and we're going to multiply that. We're going to replicate that about 1,000 times. So before you know it, you're driving through your neighborhood and pretty much every house looks the same. And because DSLD knows, and they have mastered the art of replication, right? And so in a similar way, we want to replicate our houses, our spiritual houses, what the Lord has invested into us, what he has poured into us. Let us be like DSLD and have this replicating mindset where we're going to pour into the next generation. We're going to replicate Christ into those around us. Amen? So where does this idea come from, replication? We see it all in life. You think about teachers, music teachers. If they want that student to play as good as they are, they will invest the time into that person, teaching them the scales, teaching them how to blow into that mouthpiece and how to hold instrument and how to maintain that instrument. And so because what's happening is we're wanting that person to replicate the sound that we can produce. And so we want that replication process to take place. It happens in every aspect of our lives. You know, if you on the job and you're learning how to be a carpenter for DSLD, you're going to watch them and see what they're doing, right? You're going to see how they are framing. And then that's how we learn. We watch others and we apply that to our lives. Your children tend to do the same thing. And so this is probably like one of the more serious issues, right? Your children begin to watch you. Uh-oh. Like, and they begin to replicate not what you say, but they replicate what you do. And so hopefully you are doing good things, godly things. You are leading them in the right way because they will replicate who you are. Now, that's not every case. Now, we know that they're given a free will and that eventually they have to make a choice to choose righteousness. But for the most part, they're going to replicate your actions and they're going to replicate what you have taught them over the years. And we see this example in the Bible when in the very early stages in Genesis 1:28. When God creates all mankind, he creates the earth and he creates mankind. And he tells them this. He says, and God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so two words are mentioned right here in God's command to Adam and to Eve, to be fruitful, which comes from the Hebrew word para, which means to bear fruit. And simply put, make another human just like you. You're an image bearer of God. Make another image bearer of God in the earth. And then we see this other word, multiply, which comes from the Hebrew word rabah, which means to become many, to become numerous, to multiply. So not only are you to make another human being, another image bearer of God, you're to make many. And you are to multiply, you are to subdue the earth and fill the earth. Amen? And so we see this command in the natural, but we also believe this is a command in the spiritual as well, that we are to multiply that which God has put into us, and we are to make other disciples. We get this from the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. It says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So think about that just for a moment. The God who created all the heavens and all the earth and spoke the mountains into existence, spoke the oceans and told them, you cannot go any further than the beach. And this is where you have to stay. That authority is living on the inside of Christ. And by that same authority, Christ commissions his disciples. And he tells them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. And so now this authority that Christ has, he's giving it to his disciples, and he tells them to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so a couple of things are said in these couple of verses. All authority belongs to Jesus. He authorizes his disciples to go. These new converts were to be taught about Jesus and everything that they've seen Jesus do. This should continue to the end of the age. And so we ask the question, has the end of the age happened yet? No, not yet, but we're getting close, right? You look at the signs of the time, and we can say that we are getting close to the day of the Lord. And so if this message of going, therefore, and making disciples is to go to the end of the age, and we're not there yet, then guess what that means? That you are the disciple who is called to go, therefore. That you are a follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, he has replicated himself into you, and the expectation is that you would then begin to replicate that into someone else. Amen. You are to go, therefore, and this commission is to go until the end of the world. So replication originates with the Great Commission. Replication requires sharing your faith. We have to open up our mouth, right? And, you know, how many? Every now and then you have like one of those proud parent moments, and you know, they're just every now and then, you know. But like, anyway, I was watching. I walked into the living room one day, and my youngest daughter is sitting there watching reels, which normally I would not be cool with. But this particular reel, this guy was out and about, a young man, preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't find the same exact one, but I found another guy, and we're going to show this right quick.
God demonstrates his own love for us. Even while we're still sinners, he died for us. If it wasn't for Jesus, I would still be getting drunk. I would still be getting high. I would still be dead in my sins. But Jesus, it says he bore our sins on that cross so we can be dead to sin and alive in him. Who would like to be dead to sin, right? Sin causes burdens. Sin causes heaviness. It may look like I'm crazy, but I'm crazy for Jesus. Says that the point of man wants to die, and then comes judgment. You don't want to stand before God on judgment day and not even know him. See, many think they're a Christian, but they're living in sin. Many think they're a Christian, but they are condemning other Christians for preaching the gospel. But the beautiful gospel is that Jesus died on that cross for you. He shed his perfect blood. I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And I want to tell you that now is the day of salvation. Jesus wants to know you today.
Come on.
Not 5 minutes from now. No, right here in this second.
Amen. Boldness, man. This young man has some boldness going out there in the middle of the street and telling people about Jesus. What is he doing in a sense? He's replicating himself. What God has done in his life, his testimony, he is taking it to the streets, and he says, this is the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And how many guys would be willing to do the same thing? You know, just, you know, if God tells you to do so, that you would just go in the middle of New Orleans and just begin to declare the good news of the gospel as this young man was. But what is he doing? Is he is opening his mouth. He is declaring the goodness of God. And so replication is achieved through sharing our faith. We have to share our faith. Now, it might not be to this degree. Maybe it's just a one-on-one conversation with a neighbor or a friend or a coworker, where you're boldly just making a stand for your faith, and you're boldly sharing the goodness of God in that moment. But we must be willing to open our mouths. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says this: how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so this descending leads to preaching. This preaching leads to hearing. The hearing leads to believing. The believing leads to salvation. And you may say, but I haven't been sent. Don't say I haven't been sent, but rather say, Lord, send me. Send me, I'll go. Be willing to be that mouthpiece for the Lord. Be willing to open up about your faith. Be willing to share the goodness of God. Now, I'm not saying you have to take it. If the Lord calls you to do it to that level, then do it to that level. But it's probably more than likely going to be in a one-on-one conversation with someone else. And you make that declaration, and you replicate what God has done in your life into someone else's life. Amen. And you don't have to have a doctorate in theology. You don't have to have all the answers. It's okay without not knowing, you know. But what you do know, you have a testimony that no one else has. That you know something about God and what God has done in your life that he has not done, and it cannot be taught in seminary. He's done something special in your life. And you can't learn this in a classroom, in Bible school. You have a testimony. Let's heed the word of Peter when he says in 1 Peter 3:15, he says, "But in your hearts honor Christ as the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." And so we have this idea of be willing, this willingness to make a defense of your faith, this willingness to stand up for Christ, but we are to do it not in a way that we condemn people. Hey, you're going to hell, you filthy sinner. No. In a respectful way, in a loving way, right, is what we are urged to do. And so replication requires sharing your faith. Replication is achieved through discipleship. And a big part of discipleship, as I mentioned, is imitation. The child will imitate his parents, and that's how that child begins to learn. We begin to imitate Jesus. And there's a perfect example of this imitation or this discipleship. There's a man named Timothy in the book of Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, he joins the missionary, the apostle Paul, on his second and third missionary journeys. And Paul is doing life with Timothy. I mean, they are involved in every aspect of ministry together. They are living life together. Paul is teaching him. He is mentoring him. He is replicating himself into the man Timothy. And Timothy follows him along and goes about. And look what Paul has to say about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. It says this. So this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, even my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it." And so Paul is basically recommending and commending Timothy. He's like, "Man, you're doing good, man. Like, everything that I have taught you, I see it evident in your life." And Paul, He's done such a great job of replicating himself into the man Timothy, so that he gets to the point where even his teaching and conduct and his goals in life, his faith, his patience, his love, his steadfastness, all of that has now been replicated into the man Timothy. So Timothy is to carry on this torch when Paul could not. And so he commends him for his unwavering faith even amidst persecution. Now, Timothy is not the only one that Paul begins to replicate himself into. There are other scriptures in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, where it says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And so Paul, again, he says, "Look, I've set a good example for you." He's talking to the church at Philippi. "Follow my example," is what he's saying. He says, "Look, Christ has replicated himself into me. You, I have replicated myself in you. Just follow my example. Do what I have done. What you have learned and received and heard and seen, everything you've seen with your eyes, everything you heard with your ears, everything that you see me do, do it likewise." And then he tells the church at Corinth in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now, could you say that this morning? Could you say that to those around you? "Be an imitator of me as I follow Christ." But what was Paul saying? He's like, "I've ran this race. Christ has imparted into me just a level of righteousness, and I have lived my best according to the Lord. Follow my example. Do what I did." And so we see this idea of replication that Paul pours into Timothy, and he pours into these churches. Now, you might raise the objection that isn't a copy of a copy, not that great, right? Like, if you take a photo of a photo, then it's like less of a quality, right? Is that the case with Christianity? No, absolutely not, because what keeps the replication or the copy authentic is the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us and produces the same fruit in one person as in another. The same fruits of love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, temperance. All these things are being replicated into our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the end result is not a distorted copy, but an authentic copy of Jesus Christ, an authentic replication of the Master. Amen? And so, in fact, the book of Ephesians says this. He says, Ephesians 4, 4 through 7 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So there's one Spirit working the same gifts in all of us, so that the replication process, that the end result is an authentic, true believe it. There is no distortion. You know what else keeps us authentic and keeps us true to the Master? Is the Word of God. You know, we not only have the Holy Spirit living in us, but we have the infallible Word of God. This Word is indestructible. It was good back then, and it is good today, right? You can bank your life on it back then, and you can do the same today. Amen. You can trust in the Word of God. It is sure. It is concrete. It is a good foundation to build on. Now, and the last thing I want to talk about is that replication, it takes time. Replication takes time. Like, and especially, like, you know, to replicate what God has done in your life into someone else's life, that takes time. Now, some fun facts I want to give you guys. And so the fastest maturing vertebrae is the African turquoise killifish. All right, so we have a picture of this. In 2 weeks, this little fish is ready to reproduce and make more fish. Just in 2 weeks. That is quite amazing. It's the fastest maturing vertebrae there is. And so in that instance, replication doesn't take that long. Let's look at the next example, the bald eagle. The bald eagle takes about 12 weeks from the time it's an eaglet to the time it's ready to venture out of the nest. And actually, what the eagle would do, the mother eagle, she would tear up the nest, and she would push the younglings out. And right before, she would even throw the younglings off of the out of the nest, and right before they hit the ground, the mom eagle would just swoop down and just pick them up. Right before they, you know, try and teach them how to fly. But 12 weeks from the time that they are born to the time that the mom is kicking them out and trying to get them out on their own. Then we go to humans, however, and a little bit different. So right, so we have 2 weeks for the killifish. We have 12 weeks for the eagle. But the grown adult, 26 to 27 years, right? So all you people who have people living with you, it could take a while. It could take a while. You know, it's a process of replication, and replication takes time, right? Before they're able to get out on their own, before they are able to fully have the confidence to do what mom and dad has done for them, right? And so it takes time, this replication process. Amen. And so don't be discouraged if you're pouring into someone and you don't see the results right away, right? And that was probably like the hardest thing for me as a pastor, because like before I worked at North American Shipbuilding, and we would design something on the computer, and it wasn't long, maybe a week or two, I can go outside and actually see that thing that I designed on the ship. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. But with ministry, it's not always like that, right? You pour in and you pour in and you pour in, and it takes time. You don't always see the fruit of it. And so this replication process will take some time. Amen. And it's a matter of trusting that the seeds that you are sowing, it matters. Amen. And that in due season, in a due time, that God will cause that seed to produce and to bring about much fruit. But again, it's according to His time. It's according to His time plan in life. Amen. So we... looking at this, we think of the the body, the building of the body of Christ. And so we're awaiting this day and age whenever Christ will return. We long for the day, right? As believers, that is our hope. That is what we aspire for whenever Christ will come back and get his church. But he is awaiting as well, and he is awaiting for us to pour into others so that they too will come to the knowledge of faith, so that they too would mature in their faith and their walk with the Lord. And so in the meanwhile, in the process, he has given us, according to Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, he says he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, he's given all of these, the apostles, and so that we can become more like Christ. In other words, the standard is Christ. The bar has been set, and the bar has been set really high. Now, a funny story, every now and then my kids will be playing basketball outside, and they like to lower the goal, right? I'll go out there, and instead of it being like at 10 foot, it's like at 8.5 or somewhere around there. We're going to, and even though, like, you know, most basketball teams require you to shoot like at a 10-foot goal, we're going to lower the standard because it's easier. It's easier. It's easier to make a ball in an 8-foot goal than it is to make a ball in a 10-foot goal. But with God and Christianity, God does not lower the standard at all. Amen? He does not lower the standard. The standard is Christ and Christ alone. And so he causes us by the power of the Holy Spirit to rise to that bar, to rise to that expectation. And we probably will not hit it on this side of eternity, right? But whenever we cross over, whenever the Lord comes back and he gets his people, right, and we have this glorified body, we will achieve this level, this perfection that is required. And so, but here's the thing. We don't lower the bar so that it becomes easier. Even in our culture today, we don't lower the bar to the standards of this world just to make it easier, but rather we stand on the truth, on the foundation of the Word of God, and say, that is the standard. And by God's grace and by God's help, I can attain a measure of that. Amen? And so Christ is the standard. And so what I'm saying is that there is this process that we are in. There is this season where we are maturing to become to the measure of the fullness of Christ. There's this measure, there's this process of sanctification. You are more like Christ today than you were when you first got saved, amen? Like whenever you get saved, you are saved, you belong to Christ, you are part of the family of God, but there are still some things, right, in your life. There are still some things that God is working in you, and there are still some things that God is working out of you, and God is patient with us during this process. He doesn't beat us over the head and say, I can't believe you're not getting it. Let me try somebody else. No, he's patient with us. He's long-suffering with us. He endures much with us. Amen. And so we're in this process of sanctification. Christ has replicated himself into us. But we have not reached this measure, this fullness of Christ just yet. And so we wait, and we trust God, and we trust in the power of the Holy Spirit that he will bring us through, and he will bring us to the level that we need to be in. Amen? So we're learning to become more and more like Christ each and every day. The fruit of the Spirit, hopefully, is more evident in your life today than it ever has been. And that is the same fruit that is to be replicated in the lives of others. And so what we are not to do is to wait until we are perfect before we start replicating, right? Because our perfection is based upon Christ's righteousness and Christ's righteousness alone. Amen. In other words, we come to salvation, we come to believe in God because of God's grace, because of believing in Jesus. It is his perfection. He walked this life without sin, But yet he took upon himself the sins of us all. Every single one of our sins were placed upon Jesus. And his perfection now becomes our perfect righteousness. Our sins, he takes our sins and we get his righteousness. It's the greatest deal for us. In the meanwhile, we await this period one day when God will send his son Jesus to come back. He will gather his church. He is maturing us. But in the meanwhile, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have taught you. And lo, I am with you to the ends of the earth. Amen. So this replication process, it originates with the Great Commission. Notice it's the Great Commission and not the Great Suggestion. It's not the great wish list, like I'm wishing that you would do this. A commission. In other words, I'm giving you the power and the authority to do it. I am commissioning you to go, therefore, and replicate yourself. It requires opening your mouth and sharing your faith. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone? Maybe someone at work, maybe a family member, maybe someone at the gym or wherever it is that you find yourself. When was the last time you shared your faith? And then are you actively involved in discipling someone? Do you, like Paul, have a Timothy that you can pour into? Someone that you can that you can develop and watch them mature into the fullness of Christ. And just know this, that it takes time. It took time with you. In fact, you're still in the works, right? I'm still in the works. God's still working on me. I'm not there yet. I don't want anybody to think that I've arrived, that I've attained. But like Paul, I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing on to the mark. Amen? And I hope that you are encouraged to do the same. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this series. Lord, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, this is a commitment that we are making to you. Lord, we will continue to serve you. We will continue to live for you each and every day. Lord, we ask, Lord, that we will do as this series instructed us. Lord, that we will clean and keep on cleaning. That we will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis because we need you. Lord, that we will defend our house, and Lord, we will replicate the house that you have made, oh God. Lord, this is your work, this is your doing, and just help us to do this well. So for every person in this place, God, I pray that they would just feel the weight of this commission. Lord, that even now that they would be thinking about someone, one person, that they can replicate their self into. Lord, that we would begin to pray for that one person until we see their salvation take place. Lord, that we would be a people who is passionate about what you are passionate about, that we would be concerned about what you are concerned about. And Lord, throughout your word, we find that you wish and your desire is that no one would perish, but that all would have eternal life. Let us be more and more like Christ each and every day. Change our hearts, oh God. Lord, when we have been stubborn and unwilling, Lord, to share our faith, God, we ask, Lord, that you forgive us. Lord, when there was opportunity to do it and we just said no, Lord, forgive us, oh God. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'll be more mindful, Lord, to replicate ourselves into the lives of others. God, we thank you. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I will pray for your church, God. Lord, every need, Lord God, whatever it may be, Lord, whether it's spiritual needs, Lord, whether it's emotional needs, whatever it is, God, we thank you that you are God and that you are able to do abundantly and above all that we can even ask or think. So, Lord, we just thank you. We just give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. Have your way in our hearts. Mold us, shape us, make us more and more like Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And let God's people say, amen.